It's time for slam.
We back. Welcome to another episode of the Highline Podcast. Once again, I got it right this time. As usual, by the voice, you can tell it's me. And you know I'm going to say the voice of reason, the voice of truth, the man who speaks the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth at all times. Today, I don't have Jachi and Nuduak with me, unfortunately. Fortunately, I do have another United fan in the booth, and it's Funto for the third time, I think. Yeah, yes. Third time in the this Highline season. Podcast.
Thank you for having me back.
Also, apologies for the delay in the release of this recording. I don't have any excuse. I was just tired yesterday. There's no excuse. Like, I was just tired yesterday, so I couldn't record. So let's get into it. And what better place to start than Santiago Bernabeu?
Si se puede.
Where I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I don't know what words to put to what happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't shocked, but at the same time, I was shocked. It's like, with 5 minutes to go, you're thinking, there's no way. Obviously, City are going to the final. Sorry, with 5 minutes to go, you're thinking City are going to the final. But you're also thinking at the same time, if Madrid were to score one here,
they're going to win.
We have a tie. Like, you know, they would most likely score the second goal, because I've seen it happen against Chelsea, seen it happen against PSG. Benzema's hat-trick was within, what, 10, 15 minutes against PSG. One against Chelsea in the second leg, where all it took was one finish from Rodrigo. And I thought about it. I'm like, a wise man once said, this is football
heritage.
And that was football heritage last night. It's like, you just can't defeat Madrid in the Champions League. There's nothing you can do about it. You're going to face them, and you're going to lose.
Not really lose. I would say is that you can never count them out. So, like, for me, like, I feel exactly the same way. It's like, I watched the game all the way to the 70th minute, and I don't know what happened, but I just felt, you know what, I'm turning off this TV at this point now, because I was literally having an adrenaline rush. Like, the game was so good. For me, personally, watching it from beginning to end, like, to the 70th minute, it was like...
From the first leg to
from the first leg, yeah. Exactly. I felt the adrenaline rush, and I was like, you know what, I need to go remove my head and everything. But it's so funny, 3 minutes later, they score. Man City score. And I look, and I went, because I had to rewatch the game and see what happened, and I saw 70 minutes, City score, and City had more chances to score, which we're going to go get into soon. City had more chances to score over the course of both legs. But I'm still going to give a fun stat about that too, because the game was actually so chaotic, and you could not write Madrid at any point off. That's my own question. When it comes to Madrid and Champions League, it's like, I've said it before, they give me that aura of respect to your elders. Like, we've been there, we've done that. Like, all of you people are just newbies, especially Man City. You guys are newbies in this. We've been doing this for time before you were even probably formed. No, that's wrong. Before you were
possibly. Back before in the Stefano days. Oh. I don't know how old Man City is, but...
No, I don't think... Well, I'm not really sure about
that. Well, before they became a popular team, that's for sure.
Before the Arab money, before you could even think of even being in Champions League, we've been here, we've done that many times. So, it's like... There's a spirit. I don't know. Someone's like, this is a spiritual thing
juju.
At this point.
That's what they call it.
I don't think it's juju, but it's just spiritual connection. Like, this is just not normal at this point, because at that point, it's like, you're getting there and you see Madrid and you're just like, these guys are going to win in it. It's so silent. You know deep down in you that regardless, they're going to win. Even that game ended up, someone said, immediately, like, the fact that Benzema celebrated when he made the score 4-3, should do that. Okay, these guys know they're going to win. In the first leg, he celebrated at 4-3.
There's only one word to define this Madrid team and its resilience. Mm-hmm. On your, literally, their midfield is on, except Casemiro, the midfield is on their last legs. Benzema has been in this game for, he's been at Madrid for what, 12 years?
Madrid striker for 12 years. When have you ever heard of
it's
that?
It's a different team, but part of the nucleus from that successful Madrid side still remains. And then obviously Carlo coming back was the one to break the curse and finally win La Decima. And the man said he doesn't even coach. All he does is and then before you know it, they're going to score. And it's ridiculous to me because it's true. Like, I saw it yesterday.
Like, the
immediately he took off Rodrigo. Immediately he brought on Rodrigo. I just saw him twitch his eye some kind of way. And before you know it, it's two goals. Like, it doesn't, I don't know how it works. I know it's a joke. But it's like, I don't know, man. Madrid in the Champions League is definitely like, it's something spiritual. You just can't.
You know, one person on Twitter, Mayawa Kodre, I actually love him. Shout out to Mayawa. He always says, he said that Carlo Ancelotti is just one of those guys. One of, you know, African fathers who say the economy will sort out itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's literally him.
Yeah.
It's like the economy will sort out itself. And not to say yesterday's game, Madrid were tactically astute. Let me not lie to you. When I watched that game, I was like, you know what? Madrid know what they want to do today. Like,
I always wonder, why does he keep on starting Cruz? Even after every single game I watch, Camavinga makes a difference when he comes on. Like the games against PSG, ones against Chelsea, and obviously both against City. He came on and he had a positive impact in every single one of those games. I'm thinking to myself, why won't you just start Camavinga? But maybe that's his secret.
That's one of the things that I was reading this morning, and I think Cruz is on his last leg. I think Cruz, like Camavinga, needs to start. But I also think that, you know what? He makes his substitutions at the right time.
Yeah.
Those substitutions are really, really much more planned before the game.
They are not rushed at all.
They are not rushed at all. Because I was reading this morning, Michael Cox on The Athletic said this. He said that Madrid played a game where they were so tactically astute, where they were able to control the chaos more. They looked, Madrid were playing out from back against a high-pressing Manchester City. That's
without
to tell
David
you that
Alaba
with
as well.
What?
Without David Alaba.
Without David Alaba. Shout out to Nacho. My man is a servant. I can't lie to you guys. He's one of those unsung heroes. But Nacho had a blast yesterday, man.
His definition of next man up.
Bro, man.
Like, he's never been a starter. Because I was a huge Madrid supporter back in, like, from, like, 2010.
I don't think you were a huge Madrid supporter. You were a Barcelona hater.
No. I loved Madrid.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Madrid. Like, I was up until the moment.
Shout out to Dad.
Even after Ronaldo left, I still loved, like, when Ajax defeated Madrid in 2019, and when Madrid lost to City in 2020, I was really upset. But Nacho has been, like, that consistent backup. Even though he has a couple mistakes here and there, whenever I see someone get injured, like a Varane or a Pepe, I'm like, okay, Nacho can come in and do a job. Yeah, there's a drop-off in quality, but I call him Mr. Consistent because he'll come in, deliver you a 6 over 10, 7 out of 10 consistently. And he's been doing that for the better part of his career for Madrid, and he will retire as a Madrid legend as far as I'm concerned.
Silently, he will retire as a Madrid legend. 8 over 10, that was a minimum of an 8.5 over 10 yesterday from Nacho. So, like, you see, like, Madrid were playing out from the back consistently, playing beyond the press, and we're playing, like, they kept the ball. Then, that was because of Modric, Cruz, and Casemiro, and Valverde inverting inward.
Federico Valverde.
Oh!
Federico
Every time
Valverde.
I watch that boy, I'm just like, this guy is energetic, and he still knows what to do on the ball.
I think the
it's
first
not
time
Scott
I watched him, first time I watched him was 2019. And I told one of my guys, I said, hang on, I think this guy is better than Frankie de Jong. And he's like, no, you're tripping, this and that.
He's a pure 8.
But he's so good.
He's
like,
pure 8.
He covers the pitch, his work rate defensively, offensively. And, you know, unlike Bruno, he has high work rate and can keep the ball. Doesn't play any of those useless passes. Not saying he's the most creative player, but he does everything right on the pitch that Madrid expects him to do. And just thinking about the fact that Madrid can transition from a midfield of Modric, Kroos, and Casemiro to Camavinga, Federico, and potentially Tchouaméni.
Or Pogba. I don't think Pogba. Oh, actually, no.
And big news coming out today, Mbappe is staying at PSG as well.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. He signed, apparently, he signed a 2-year
Who
extension.
Who said that? Was it Fabrizio?
I'll find it again. No, it's not Fabrizio.
Jesus Christ, Grenier, man.
French star to stay in Paris after agreeing in principle to 2-year extension.
Is that BR?
Grenier. I don't know who that reporter
Jesus
is.
Jesus Christ, I did not even know. Yeah. I thought he was going to stay. I thought he was.
Yeah, I thought he was going to go to Madrid as well.
Bro, then guess what? Madrid are going to pull up in madness.
Yeah.
You can't do that to them.
Yeah.
Florentino lives with something.
It's just football heritage. Like on the performance itself, Pep. I can't lie. I don't know whether to blame Pep or not.
Can't blame Pep on this one.
I question him taking off Mahrez.
No, Mahrez was having a miss. Do you know how bad Mahrez has been over the two legs?
No,
he missed chances.
But he scored the crucial goal.
Okay.
And Mahrez had Ferland Mendy on too. Like, he had the beating of Ferland Mendy anytime he wanted.
Okay. I
can't remember who he brought on for Mahrez. But
Fernandinho.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why he
that's closing down a game.
Yeah, but...
You know, everyone
keep
was
Mahrez.
You know,
Gundogan and Rodri is good enough to close down the game. You know, saw how calm Gundogan was. Gundogan was literally like, I have no problem taking off KDB and bringing on Gundogan
because everyone was arguing about that one.
He saw
what Gundogan.
KDB wasn't having a great game yesterday.
Thank you.
Wasn't as effective, but you saw what and that's no spite on KDB. It's just on the game yesterday.
It was not good.
In
fact, most of Man City players were not good. Were not at their level yesterday.
And I feel like if you're taking off Walker because of the injury, then you have to bring Ake on. Like, I watched Ake put on a defensive masterclass
so
against Atletico.
I'd
much rather have Ake than Zinchenko.
Versus Rodrigo.
Yes.
Versus Rodrigo.
Ake is a really good defender.
Versus Rodrigo, I see what you're saying, yeah?
Yeah. So, like, to an extent, I question Pep, but, and I can't put blame on any of the players. Grealish could have ended the tie, but then another unsung hero is Ferland Mendy. Clearing the ball off the line practically is what put Madrid in the Champions League final.
He won them that game.
And then Courtois save as well.
You know,
from
Courtois,
Grealish.
I think we forget how good Courtois is because we don't watch him. People don't watch him every week.
Yeah, and then
La
there's
Liga.
This obsession with players, keepers who can use their feet.
Exactly. But Courtois has done the job so much. Like, I was reading this one. He said Courtois made 10 saves over 120 minutes versus Manchester City. 10 saves.
Yeah, Courtois is a ridiculously good shot stopper. Like, he excels in that.
That's a keeper, man.
Ederson, bro. Like, at some point, you're going to have to keep. Like, you know, you're not Iniesta, you're not Xavi. I watched him yesterday. His distribution was spot on. I think he made like five passes in a row that reached its intended target. But you're still going to have to keep. Like, he made a good save off of Vinicius.
That's what makes Alisson better than him.
But I feel like he could have done better for Rodrigo's first goal.
How close was
the header? There's nothing he can do about that. But Rodrigo's first goal, I feel like he could have done better. He could have, you know, tried to come off his line and claim the cross. But obviously the second goal and third goal, there's nothing he can do about that. Ruben Diaz, Virgil van Dijk, that should never it was an atrocity of a comparison in the first place, and it should never happen again. Like, every single person that compared Ruben Diaz to Van Dijk, you owe Van Dijk a huge
I hope I never did.
Huge,
but I just retired Ruben Diaz.
Apology. Like, a huge apology. But there's not really much to say about City because they didn't do much wrong yesterday.
That's what I'm saying.
They didn't do much wrong. It's just Madrid and Rodrigo. he just has that clutch. I swear he scored two goals in the La Liga clincher.
Yeah, in the La Liga clincher.
And
team.
Then he comes on yesterday and scores two goals as well. Like, he's Chelsea. A really good
remember
player.
Remember Chelsea too? He's the one that started the comeback.
He's a really good player. He's just... Vinicius is probably better than him, and Vinicius plays on his preferred wing. But every time I see him come on, I'm like, every time I watch Madrid games, I'm like, why isn't Rodrigo starting?
Like, I don't think I finished my point on this guy's subs. Ancelotti knows his subs, and he makes his subs in the right time to be able to change the game. Like against Man City, the game was more controlled because of the midfield three and Federico Valverde inverting. But now, because he removed Cruz, there was less control. And apparently, reading back and watching the analysis, they said, you know what, immediately removed that thing, the midfield was destabilized. Because Modric was more or less like in number 10, who was just floating around, more around. Federico would not come in, and that's why Carvajal was mainly busting down the right wing. But basically, immediately they removed Cruz. That's when Manchester
shout out Carvajal as well. That's another Real Madrid legend that goes under the radar. For a good 2-3 years, I considered him the best right back in the world.
Oh, well, I think there's a shout for that.
Just because offensively, he whips in across, like Carvajal. And then, but for me, where he stands out is defensively. I feel like Carvajal can actually play defense, because when we're talking about basketball,
I mean,
he's
past his years, but
yeah, but in his prime, he could actually defend
as well, too.
And not just, you know, 1v1 ability like Wan-Bissaka, could defend in line with his center backs, was not a liability, and all that. Like, I mean, it's just this Madrid team, and there's not much you can say about them. It's just it's just football heritage.
Like, that's what I'm trying to say. For me, I just saw more of the analysis yesterday, and obviously. Everybody's going to get it when it comes to, like, the humor and everything. But I just thought to myself that what more could Manchester City do?
I didn't think they did much wrong yesterday.
Because I saw their expected goals, and apparently, just wildly, Manchester City's expected goals was around 3.60, and Real Madrid was 3.40.
I don't buy it. City could have scored 7 in the first leg.
I don't get it. That's maybe sometimes XG
7 in the first leg.
Like sometimes XG does something that confuses me, honestly.
Also, Karim Benzema. Can't talk about Madrid without talking about him. Ice in his veins. Paneka in the first leg. Sends the keeper the wrong way in the second leg and takes them
to
the Champions League
final. People don't understand how that Paneka makes me like say that guy is the best in the world, because I've been shouting Benzema has been the best in the world for like a year now, for like over a year, even last season. Because let's not take it back that Madrid got to the semifinals, lost to Chelsea, fought for the title until the final day of the season, and they gave the Ballon d'Or to Messi, and they said Lewandowski don't have won it.
Ridiculous.
Like yes, we get it. Messi won the Copa America. But
to be honest, I think the only reason Chelsea won Champions League was because Lewandowski wasn't fit to play PSG.
That could have also been a good shout as well, too. But also, like, Benzema, when he scored that Paneka against City, Benzema had missed his last... He missed two penalties the game before.
Apparently, before yesterday's penalty, he had missed three of his last six.
No, before
he missed two in the game before the Paneka.
Yeah.
But before yesterday's penalty, in the last month, he missed three of his last six penalties.
I'm just saying, who does that? Like, in that moment, you are meant to be like...
Confidence. And I think I heard Culture Camp say something about... I think there was a shootout between Italy and England. I think
it was Pirlo.
Euros.
Yeah.
And then Pirlo runs up and chips Gerrard.
Yeah.
And the reason he did that was to instill... confidence
in the team,
in his teammates, like, don't be scared. Like,
immediately, like Pirlo said, that immediately he scored that Paneka. I said, we're winning. You know when for sure you know you're winning.
And that's probably what Benzema did with that Paneka, just instilled a level of confidence. And speaking of confidence, right after Madrid qualified for the Champions League final, Mohamed Salah came out striding in confidence and said, we have a score to settle. Meaning he wants payback for when Ramos dragged his hand.
You actually like when players call out like that.
Because that's what I love it. Like, because I love basketball, I see that a lot in basketball. I'm like, no, we need this in football. We desperately, I need rivalries. Like, I love when teams hate each other, go at each other. And want to, like, I'm not having this friendly rivalry between City and Liverpool. No, kill each other, strangle each other. And that's,
you grew up on United Arsenal, you grew up on Chelsea Arsenal.
That's what I want. Chelsea, and I'm very like happy Salah, four, yeah. Very happy Salah came out and said that, because man said Salah was in his living room strolling up and down playing many men by 50. But yeah, but like I can't wait for the final all year long. Well, just touch on Villarreal first, because when I think Futa texted me because I was at work when Villarreal were 2-0 up, and I'm thinking to myself, this is Illuminati, like, this is not normal. What Emery was doing was not normal. Like, two goals after sitting back the whole first leg, I was like, if Villarreal get to the final, they're winning this. Like,
no, it was if Villarreal got to the final. Sorry, I think they like genuinely they were winning it.
Yeah,
but one thing I can say about Emery for that Liverpool game, because I didn't watch the game from the beginning. I just lifted up my phone and I saw 2-0. I was like, okay, we might have a tie, because what am I watching for Liverpool after the 2-0? Like, Liverpool were going to walk on them, like, for me. But the fact that they got to a 2-0, I was just like, ah. But the thing about Unai Emery that always, always makes me doubt him is he can be quite pessimistic in such a way that you had a 2-0 lead, you now decided... You basically revert.
It's what he knows.
You basically revert.
And that's why, like, the revisionism around Emery and Arsenal is what really started upsetting me. Because as much of a great manager as he is, Villarreal is his level to an extent.
Just underdog, yeah.
You look at the places where he made his money, Sevilla winning 3 Europa Leagues in a row. When he went to PSG, he didn't really achieve expectations. Arsenal, the second season was terrible. And it's because of things like this. You're 1-0 up against Sheffield, and in the 60th minute, you're taking off your striker and bringing on Kolasinac for an extra strike, for extra... Like, no. Put your foot on the gas. To be fair, as immediately he started sitting back, he just knew Liverpool were going to come back. And they did. They just have too much quality within that side. Luis Diaz stands out as the best signing of the January transfer window. Sadio Mane is having a hell of a second part of the season.
Can I say something? And I saw it and I think I fully agree with it. Liverpool would not be here if they did not sign Luis Diaz in January.
Yeah.
They would not be here. He scares me. As a Man United fan, like, sometimes when people talk about Man City and Liverpool, I just wanted to ask people, do you actually consider how people feel? Maybe that's why I've been angry for the longest time about my club, about everything. And I took it out on you last week. So basically, when I see Luis Diaz, it scares me in the fact that this man can do anything on the ball. Heading, no problem. To one-on-ones, no problem. Pace, one-on-one. Like, Mike.
Look what? At Liverpool's front three. Aside Firmino, every single one of them can play anywhere across the front three.
Yeah.
Every single one of them have played anywhere across the front three and have been successful. And I said it last week. Liverpool signed these players that you're like, you see them, you know they're good players, but you never think of them for your club. But the moment Liverpool signed them, you're like, oh my God.
That what makes sense.
Like, when they signed Jota, I was oh my God, where did that come from? Like, that when they signed Mane, like, it's not like Mane was tearing up the Premier League in Southampton. He was.
Second striker.
But when they signed him, I was like, why did I not think of that for Arsenal? Like, you know what's so funny? Salah as LPG. Well. Arsenal was dying for Lamar, dying for Mahrez. Could have paid $35 million for Salah. Like, all these players, you just, you're like, wow. Like, where did this... As little as Wijnaldum as well.
I mean, Wijnaldum was one of Arsenal's targets. I can remember LVG saw for money as well too, but everyone just discounted these players. But you know one thing, I just see Liverpool, and that comeback for me was just like, Immediately the second half started, I was like,
wasn't that impressive? It was expected.
More it was like impressive. They started and playing Rudy, and really just Rudy, had the Hall bro, of Shame performance. Man. Three horror shows.
Hall of Shame.
But can I even give a round of applause to Etienne Capoue, Lo Celso? I love Lo Celso.
Francis Coquelin.
Like the fact that Francis Coquelin is scoring in the Champions League semi-final. Jesus Christ. Unai Emery does something.
Actually forget when Arsenal had that pivot of Coquelin and Cazorla.
It was a good time. We were balling out.
Like they meshed so well because in as much as Coquelin is not the greatest player, his ability to win the ball back was top level. He was just rash. You know, jumping into slide tackles, getting sent off in crucial games crucial North London Derby, where if we win, we have a higher stake in the title race, you know, things like that. But that Coquelin-Cazorla pivot, it was good times for Arsenal.
I literally look at Villarreal. Villarreal have good, but you know what? Shout out to Moussa Okwanga. He literally like in a studio. Two things about Stadio that I actually like. If you listen to Stadio once, when we were driving once, they first of all called this Liverpool thing. I'll be like, all of us that have laughed this year, you're going to apologize to Liverpool.
I never laughed at them for one second last year.
And you know what? I laughed. I was like, you know, like it's fandom, but at some
the
point,
the worst part was when people were calling Thiago senior man, idea ball, and all that.
Obviously,
you don't want to mess with Thiago. Like he's. Regardless, he's one of the top three midfielders in the world right
top
now.
Top three?
Midfield, CMs, yes, come on.
No.
KDB, he's top five.
Thank you.
He's top five.
Thank you. I still rate Verratti over him, though. Bro. I still rate Verratti over him.
I don't know
him. Why. I still rate Verratti.
Thiago has bossed Verratti in almost every meeting they've had. Going back to the days Bayern and PSG used to play against each other in the Champions League. Thiago won those battles, except maybe the exception of that one where PSG won 3-1, the first Neymar Mbappe Cavani season. But in the second meeting in the group stage, Thiago busted.
I still pick Verratti. I just think like Verratti does the work. Verratti has had blast six, man. Like, please, man.
What of Thiago? Like, I feel like Thiago does.
But where I'm going to cross the line is if you ever in your life compare Thiago Verratti to Cesc Fabregas, you need to be.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You need to. I woke up one day and I saw that and I was like, Fabregas, someone who was tearing up Premier League at 16 years old.
That's true.
You want to bring Fabregas. The only reason why Fabregas is playing
Fabregas
now.
Fabregas was a generational talent.
Bro, that is the definition of generational talent. Fabregas, the same Fabregas. People are talking about Thiago. Thiago is just playing from the center mid. Fabregas, come first nine, we'll play. Number 10, play. Deep line, Emeka, deep midfield, play. Where do you want to play with Thiago?
I think the game that highlights Fabregas was that, even though it wasn't a big game, but the game against Aston Villa in 2009. 3-0. Where the score was 0-0. He was half injured. Wenger brings him on, scores two goals, injures himself on the second goal, and he goes to the bench. Like, That was just peak Fabregas for me.
Like,
and I just wish he stayed at Arsenal because it was a mistake going to Barcelona given the fact that they still had Iniesta, Xavi, and Busquets all in their prime.
He played as a post-9 and he still busted a bit.
He could have had a way higher ceiling if he had stayed at Arsenal.
It also depends.
Fabregas, Alex Song, these players could have had a high. Van Persie, I'm not mad about. He went there, he won the Premier League. He did his thing. Mm-hmm. But Fabregas and Alex Song could have had higher ceilings if they stayed at Arsenal.
No, Alex Song would have. Alex Song should have been staying at Arsenal.
Samir Nasri as well.
Nasri won 2 Prems though.
Yeah, but see, he could. I don't know, man.
It's hard to say. But yeah, Villarreal. Wonderful try. They got there by their own doing. Let's not take from the fact that they won Juve, although Juve are in a transition period.
Bayern Munich
also in transition period as well too. So like it's a lot, but I rate them. Liverpool, they scare me every single day. Waking up and watching them, I see them. I just like.
They're so ruthless.
They're so good.
They're
like,
so ruthless.
Like, it's like, you know when something is so good, you're just like, and yours is so bad and you're angry. He's genuinely jealous. I'm jealous.
But what I'll say is, at the beginning of the season, like all year long, I think I'm the only person on this podcast that has been saying consistently, right from group stage, that Liverpool was going to win Champions League.
You still think Madrid can
win? I'm scared.
Huh?
I'm scared.
That Liverpool will win Champions
League. I'm scared that Madrid might just sneak it. Because football is such a crazy sport. Like, they didn't make this run to lose in the final.
And it's written. Like, sometimes, you know,
some things are just written in the stars.
Like yesterday, immediately went down to 1-0. And immediately came out to 1-1. Just like,
everyone
knew.
Yeah.
In fact, let me not lie to you. Even after the 4-3, most of us, deep down in your soul and spirit, that silent voice in you knew that, yeah, they are winning it.
And I'm scared of my pick because...
Doesn't matter. Football is a game of picking.
Yeah, but Madrid, like, you just can't write them off.
Shout out to our one of our top listeners, Taps, the only Taps on Twitter. He's an avid Real Madrid fan, and I'm happy for him because genuinely that guy's a Real Madrid fan. Like, he deep down loves the club more and more. So yeah, shout out to Taps. Congratulations, and I'm rooting for you. Genuinely.
Yeah, like I'm just, I feel like Madrid would actually, I just feel like the players are going to, the mentality in that team is just a thing, like, we did not come this far to lose.
To mess up, bro.
But then Salah as well is coming for blood, which is why I think it's going to be a hell of a battle.
Just one question. Do you think Salah has a chance to win the Ballon d'Or?
No, he doesn't. Benzema has won the Ballon d'Or.
But do you know the closest person to him is not even him? It's Mane.
Benzema has won the Ballon d'Or.
Benzema has won the Ballon d'Or, but do you know the closest person to him is not Salah? It's Mane.
That's pretty unfair.
That's not pretty unfair.
Even though I get it, Mane not won the, but Salah gets into the AFCON final is a huge accomplishment in itself. Like, you look at the start of the tournament, nobody had Egypt going all the way.
But when push came to shove. Twice.
When push came to shove.
Twice.
The man who had the better team won.
No one is going to consider that, bro. You know people.
But it's the concept. Truth. Like, context matters. That's why I'm always... you always have to apply context when you're making your argument.
You're saying that right now?
Huh?
Context?
I always say context matters. Context always matters. And Mane has a way better team than Salah. That's why he's able to dunk on him twice in Africa. And yeah, he's had a solid second half of the season. But Salah was tearing up the season in the first half.
Salah still has 30 goals this year, though.
Was tearing up the world in the first
half. Anyway, Salah, Mane...
Are we all forgetting the goal against Watford and
Salah, City? Mane, Firmino... Doesn't matter. Benzema.
Yeah.
Still
out. That's it. I'm looking forward to the Champions League final. But it's time for us to go domestic and stick with the Premier League.
Can we start with Chelsea? I actually want to start with Chelsea.
Yeah, let's start with Chelsea.
So... Chelsea lost to Everton 1-0, Richarlison. And to say Chelsea are 3 points ahead of Arsenal, despite having been told that they were meant to be title challengers.
3 weeks ago on this same podcast, I said to Uduak, Emeka, and Jachi, Tuchel's second season has been terrible. And they all said, I'm being too harsh, you know, this and that.
If we're going to consider context to here, though,
what context am I considering? It's been a hard season.
It's been a... These guys have gone through a situation where...
Yeah.
Like,
I understand.
Beyond their control. These players are considering their future. Rudiger is gone. Christensen is gone. These players don't know the future of the club.
I understand. But at the end of the day, Palm said on this show, Chelsea are the most comfortable team in the Premier League because they are at a point where they're not good enough to challenge for the title. But they are way too good to not make the top four. They lose their next game. They're level on points with Arsenal if we win against Leeds. How isn't that a disappointing season?
Playing?
Wolves.
Wolves are sleeping.
They fell off. That's why everybody's too quick. Everybody jumped on the train and said, oh, Bruno Lage is better than Arteta. What do you have to say for yourselves now?
But you were rating Wolves too.
I rate Bruno Lage. But some people are just quick to, like, just because he's... Arsenal and Arteta, they're like Rory Jennings or whatever he calls himself that
Jennings.
Thinks he knows football because he's been a Chelsea fan since before Chelsea were popular. I don't give a damn. Have more
it's like Turkish.
80% of his opinions are wrong. Sugar Sean as well came out yesterday, said City win convincingly after the game. He's talking about I don't understand how City did not score against awful defending from Madrid. Bro, just accept the fact you were wrong and move on. But still with Chelsea in the Premier League, it's been a disappointing season, and I agree with Culture Camps. If Abramovich was still around and Chelsea had a rocky start to the next season, Tuchel would have been gone.
I don't think we could. Oh, next season.
To the next season.
Yeah, Tuchel would have been gone.
You would have been gone.
Generally speaking, I think people don't even understand that Chelsea do silently do need a rebuild as much as people don't.
Not silently, they do need a rebuild.
That people, but people don't talk about it that much. People have not realized that
all their attackers have not blossomed. Doesn't look like
Christian Pulisic. I'm gonna call you out right now, man.
He's been as good as his greedy all season. Havertz is the only one that has really come to fruition.
That 75 million is the only one worth spending.
Lukaku is not a conversation we're going to have today because we're not going to finish. Timo Werner.
Sometimes good, sometimes he gives me the idea. Like for me, Timo Werner, I like him. It's just that if that finishing clicks, people know that that's
Timo Werner. I don't think he can click in the Premier League. He doesn't have the on-ball quality to be a good striker in the Premier League.
Okay, if you say so. But in a two-striker system, it could work.
They've tried two striker systems. We have it. They've tried with Werner.
Against that Madrid
with,
team.
Lukaku.
You know, Chelsea, for me, let me put it this way. Chelsea, I just, silently, we just look at them. Like, no one really speaks on them.
And then Jorginho's contract is up end of next season. I think he says homesick.
Mount,
he wants to leave.
Mount is 1 year. Mount has...
No, but Mount will extend. He's a Chelsea boy.
Rich James.
He will, they are Chelsea
boys. No. I need you to understand they are Chelsea boys, but their future...
They has just won the Champions League. Like, Mount and Rich James are not leaving.
Okay, they're not... Okay.
If there's an issue, Mount, Rich James, even as trash as he is, Hudson-Odoi, Chilwell, those guys are not going anywhere.
Chilwell just signed 2020. That one is not...
Yeah, but, like, those guys are not going anywhere if there's any impending issue.
My problem is that...
My thing is their midfield now. Kante is not the same. Mm-hmm. Jorginho might want to leave. So you're left with Kovacic, Loftus-Cheek. You can't replace Kante with Conor Gallagher. This
I keep saying it. Like, Conor Gallagher, for me, is a good measure that I love him. But I don't see him
There's a significant drop-off.
I don't see him. So it's I don't like see him, his future being at Chelsea.
And then you look at defense. They've lost Rüdiger. I think they're going to lose Christensen. They've I think Christensen is going to Barcelona.
Aspi is beyond this.
Aspi is washed.
Thiago Silva is 39.
Thiago Silva will soon retire. I think the only one I'm confident about is the kid that started playing, Trevor Chalobah. I think he's good.
Yeah.
Aside that, Malang Sarr, we saw what he did against Arsenal. He's not it.
Malang Sarr is me.
So high key, Chelsea do need a rebuild in majority of positions.
Their midfield is empty too.
I think Jorginho might leave this summer.
No, I know. Their midfield is generally empty too. Like, and the thing is that the future of this club is also at risk. Like today, Abramovich came out and he's like, oh yeah, like...
He wants his loan back.
No, he came out today, Chelsea official statement, where it was like, the loans and everything, I'm not trying to collect that back. So he was trying to like write the story and everything. So basically, the Todd Boehly consortium are the ones that are going to win it. But Todd Boehly, Jim Ratcliffe, richest man in the UK, came out and wanted to buy, but they rejected his bid. But you think about what Chelsea are about to go through.
By the way, West Ham game just started and Aaron Cresswell has been sent off.
Already?
Yeah.
Moisey. I knew
they were not going to... You can't blame Moisey for Cresswell being sent off.
I mean, I'm not blaming Moisey. I'm just saying that I don't think West Ham were going to win.
Yeah, what Chelsea... Chelsea are in a pretty difficult situation right now. Like, it's hard.
I don't think you understand how new owners will affect this.
It's hard to go. Yeah, and they apparently they're American as well.
Who? Yeah, Todd Boehly. Like,
good luck. I think, is it, you know, of the Jets?
Boston. No, not Boston. Dodgers.
Good luck.
Dodgers.
Good luck.
And the Swiss and everything.
At least with Arsenal, Kroenke has tasted. He has a league MVP in the Denver Nuggets with Nikola Jokic. He just won the Super Bowl with the LA Rams. Hopefully, they're going to want to thirst for more. But I don't know, man. American owners are not the best, even though Liverpool American owners have done a Mazzaline.
You know, Seb, they've not even done a Mazzaline, Seb. They've they've made it sustainable because of the way they run the club through the Moneyball system. If you watch Moneyball.
And LeBron, stop lying. You did not watch the semi-final. Stop lying.
Jimmy Carragher invited him to come to World Cup. Come to Paris. He said, come to Paris, come and watch.
LeBron can't lie. That's why he said he watched Henderson score his first goal in the Euro. Stop lying. Oh, God. Well, yeah, with Chelsea, they're in a pretty difficult state. And
like Todd Bowley.
To be fair, I'm here for it. I'm happy. I prayed for your downfall. I'm happy to see you going.
No more sugar.
Downfall.
I feel like people don't understand how. I don't know if I've said it before, but I've said that Chelsea fans have actually been spoiled for life.
Spoiled?
Because my man has actually given me 1.5 billion in loans.
Everyone talks about Pep running to to collect money. What about every single Chelsea manager? Run to Daddy Abramovich and he's like, okay, here's 100 million for Lukaku.
Bro, that's how it is.
That's
and I think like right
and
now...
And the new owners, I think they're going to want to go through a sustainable method.
But like right now, for the first season, and I was just reading that if that Abramovich loans, I don't know, because Abramovich said he doesn't want to repay, that the loans don't have to repay. But I think they might have to buy the club if they have to reach the value. They might have to buy the club through loans. So welcome to Man United.
Yeah, the thing is, you're not going to get an Abramovich.
You're not getting an Abramovich.
You're not getting an
you're
Abramovich.
You're getting a sustainable
unless a Saudi move. Owner just says, hang on.
It's too late already.
It's too late.
Because the ring group that runs run the process have already said, you know what, we've chosen our
So, Todd if Bowley, they decide the to Swiss go through man. That sustainable method that Arsenal went through, boy, you're in for a hell of a lot of trouble.
But the thing is that they said that there have to be a lot of investments to Chelsea, to the team, to the women's group, to the stadium. Still, all I see is that no more sugar money.
That means less money to spend on the squad.
No more sugar money, bro.
That's crazy.
But yeah, you lost to Everton. Shout out to Everton as well, too. I thought...
Super Frank. I'm happy for Lampard. I can't lie. I don't hate him. I don't know why people hate him so much. I
just don't rate him.
I think he's an awful manager. I think he's absolutely awful. But I like him as a person.
Like
he was one of my favorite midfielders growing up, even as an Arsenal fan.
But he's not better than Stevie G, so...
Of course. Stevie G is my favorite midfielder of all time. But yeah, I'm happy for Lampard. Big goal by Richarlison. Azpilicueta, Defo helped Lampard out. Eh?
They've extended his contract as well too. But I think the rebuilding Chelsea is actually bigger.
Yeah,
man.
But he's the kind of person you extend. He's like Udonis Haslem for the Miami Heat.
Stop
like
doing cross sports this thing, bro.
He's like Mata for Miami. He's just there for mentorship purposes. Like when Arsenal extended Mertesacker.
Oh yeah.
He's
fair
just
enough.
There for mentorship purposes. But why I'm sad is Everton now have something to fight for on the final day of the season. And the reason is they play against Arsenal.
So, man. I don't think they will get to that point, though.
Yeah, I think they have a game in hand.
They have two.
No, it's one. They have a game in hand.
It's 33, 30, let me 32. Because maybe they're on 33 and everyone else is 35.
There's one game in hand on Leeds and Burnley, and they are 2 points behind both of them.
Whoa. Can we say, like, Burnley, we all talked about Sean Dyche being sacked, but Michael Jackson is pulling off a trailer, man.
Ben Mee is generational.
Mike Jackson is pulling off a madness in that place. I can't lie to you, man.
I think I should check the remaining fixtures for...
Who the one against? Who
Burnley.
Against?
Burnley has Villa, Spurs...
Villa twice,
Spurs, and Newcastle. I think they'll win Villa at least once.
Yeah.
I think they will make a result against Spurs.
Yes,
I think they would.
And
please
also, Newcastle have nothing to play for.
Yeah. But then, of all our fixtures... As an Arsenal fan, is the Newcastle fixture I'm worried about the most.
They held Liverpool to just one goal.
Away from home.
No,
we're playing Newcastle away from home.
St. James Park?
Actually, let's get into the top four race now. Arsenal picked up a huge. And no matter the amount of huges I use, it won't be enough to describe how huge that win was against West Ham. Actually effectively ensured that the lowest position Arsenal can finish this season is sixth.
Oh, sixth.
Yeah. And that is...
I mean, if That Spurs, if Wolves lose, everyone, that means...
If United, if we win our next game, then the lowest position we can finish is fifth.
But I'm talking about, what do you call it?
Wolves. No, no, no. We're not Wolves, West Ham, they're not... Is
so, Conference League now, for most likely for West Ham.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but if... I just, like, what a huge win that was. And to be honest with you, on the day we didn't play well, it was a scrappy win. The BT didn't allow to Arteta, didn't allow Arteta to say it, but we shithoused our way to a win, and I'm just happy because a lot of times we would have dropped points against that West Ham. It was our day, to be honest. Any other day, and Ramsdale makes contact with Jared Bowen and he's sent off.
Can I just pause you for a moment? So you remember the former, the Aura man was the former manager of Rangers.
Yeah, Rangers are up against
2-0 against Leipzig.
They lost 1-0 in the first leg.
Yeah. Rangers.
Yeah, but with what was I saying? Huge win for Arsenal. Rob Holding. What a servant. Like,
tweets yesterday were killing me, man.
Like, facts. But it's the truth.
Bring him on to do what?
It's the
man?
Truth. That's the most demonic thing. Who scores against the low block? The 5-3-2 low block. It doesn't happen.
Wait, like, was it not a header?
Eh?
I didn't watch it again.
No, I'm saying the reason people were saying City would have won is because when anytime Arsenal is up and Holding comes up, shut up shop. Yeah. Like, nothing is happening again. But he had a huge game, tackles. But Gabriel as well was solid. Tavares, I think you should study insurance. You make a good student in the university. Tomiyasu just came back and showed how solid he was. Mohamed Elneny. Wow.
I'm so happy people finally, because when someone said, I was talking to Bolu said, I don't, if Arteta plays Elneny, I'm gonna hate him. And I was just like, relax. Because when I see Elneny and his profile and I actually think of it, I'm just like, okay, I see it.
Elneny is a solid rotation player.
Okay.
Like,
I see it in the form of he can be a party rotation player. I see that.
No, he cannot, because
he's a box-to-box player.
Elneny is a sideways merchant.
Keep it simple.
But another person I want to pick up is Eddie Nketiah. Like, I don't mind him being rewarded with a new contract based off of what I've seen. Like, bro, I saw my striker running down the channels, fighting for loose balls.
How was it back to goal?
Yeah?
Back to goal.
Everything was perfect for me. Like, Saka, Martinelli, quiet. Odegaard was literally not in the game. Nketiah was the only attacker we had. And he played his socks off. And then Declan Rice, a wise man once said, do not forget the hand, like, something. Don't disrespect the hand that was used to feed you. And yeah, after Nketiah's mom gave you jollof rice, you're telling him, what are you going to do? No problem. But big performance from Nketiah. Big win. That's Chelsea, United, and West Ham.
Yeah, and then around from all the players. The
these
three.
Are teams all around them.
But you know what's funny? I think that, like, in another period, that would have been like, okay, the 9 points you lost, you pretty much regained it.
Yeah.
That's how it looks like. Yeah. That's how it looks.
Yeah. And then with Arsenal, we play Leeds next.
You cannot count out. You cannot count out.
It's not as easy as everyone.
Survival season is the worst season to play survival.
You're the
teams.
Last person to tell me, because, like, I've played Sunderland twice. Sunderland have used Arsenal to get survival twice, so I know everything there is to know about survival season. Which is why I believe the game against Leeds on Sunday is going to be way tougher than
a
lot of
March.
People are seeing it to be. But the reason I'm confident is because those times we had pretty much nothing to fight for. This time we have the upper hand and we desperately want to get back in the Champions League. So I think we will win Leeds, and it's down to Liverpool to do us a huge, huge favor against Spurs.
If Spurs win against Liverpool, what does that mean?
If Liverpool win Spurs and we win Leeds, we're 5 points ahead of them going into the North London Derby. So a draw.
I pretty much said top four is secured for you guys, so that's fine.
A win against Spurs in the North London Derby will give us top four. A draw would mean if we win Newcastle, we are making top four. So.
Oh, okay. All the way to the final day of the season.
No, Newcastle is second to last. All
right.
So it's literally at the stage of reach out and touch it for Arsenal fans. And it'll be so, so disappointing if we don't make Champions League.
If you don't make it, I'm sorry. That is we know when they say they handed it to you on the platter.
We snatched it. Nobody handed anything to us. No, we went out there and we snatched it.
I need to remind you that this has been a bad season.
This is what I don't know.
It's the same. I'm going to give you an example. This is the same reason why United came second last season as well too. You guys are good.
Reason United came second last season is because Liverpool had injury issues.
And that's
who has injury issues? On the balance of things, we were
you're a better team than us right now.
We're better than you and Spurs.
Okay, that's what we're saying.
So that's what I'm saying. Nobody handed anything to us. We went out there and snatched it.
In another season, it would have been much better.
In what season?
In another season where United were on the were at least.
Yeah, in another season where Arsenal were much better, Leicester won't have a Premier League trophy.
I just think that maybe things would have been much. Because this is easy. Like, it's in your hands. It's in your hands right now.
But doesn't mean it's easy.
That's what I'm saying. Even though it's not... Okay, it might not be easy, but this is in your hands. And if you mess it up, it would not be...
So it's more credit to us than whatever it is to United.
More credit to us, to you and Spurs. Mind you, I always say that in the context of the season, it's been bad for both Spurs and United.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're saying. So it's been bad for both Spurs and United because they didn't get it right. So you
but
took
that
advantage.
Has nothing to do with us, though.
You took advantage of the situation.
We didn't take advantage. We went out and snatched it because we are a better team than both those teams. We're way more organized. Like, come on, we're not about to say, oh, the only reason Arsenal is in top four is because United are not good enough. It's like saying, so pretty much the only reason Leicester have a Premier League is because Arsenal were not good enough. Only reason Chelsea won Premier League in 16-17 was because they played one game a week. Like, the same excuses everybody is throwing at Arsenal can be used in every other situation. But just because it's Arsenal, everything is different.
You know, I don't even like arguing. Premier League is rubbish at this point. Watch Syria. It's much better. There are better things happening there.
Big game for both sides this weekend. And hopefully things continue to go away.
Can Chelsea not make top four?
No. They have... Let me check their mini fixtures.
They are how many points behind Spurs? Spurs are 5 points behind them.
Yeah. They have Wolves, Leeds. Wolves, Leeds, Leicester, Watford.
Watford are done.
That Leeds game is
Wolves
going to be
is, Wolves
tough.
Wolves is not something that you can just say, yeah.
Yeah. And that Leeds game is going to be pretty
because
tough.
Because just these most last few games, I just wake up and I see their scores like 0-0 until 90-something minutes.
They should have drawn with West Ham as well.
It's not looking good, but any other thing.
Yeah, but on the title race, this is why I feel like Liverpool would win Spurs because they need to. They cannot afford a slip-up against Spurs. And City, on the contrary, I feel like this is the game they slip up.
Because of what's happened? Who are they playing?
Newcastle.
They'll be fine. Players... Athletes are really, really...
I feel like they slip up against Newcastle or against West Ham.
Oh, they still face West Ham?
Yeah. And they've got Villa last day of the season.
And Villa, I can't consider Villa as threat anymore,
bro. I'm just saying, like, I still think, even though people call me crazy, I still think Liverpool is going to win the league.
If you say so, but I think right now City have nothing else to fight for. City have nothing to think of. Another thing why I'm even saying that Madrid can win this Champions League is that they just need to be... Everyone can rest for the rest of the week, rest of this season. True. They can rest for the rest of the season. Benzema does not need...
But it doesn't, but like...
They play Atleti, they play, like...
Yeah, I get that. But too much rest can...
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there is no pressure. But Liverpool have enough squad depth.
And the sustained pressure for Liverpool... might be what drives them to win both the Premier League and Champions League. Because I don't see them letting anything slip. Like, yeah, they have a couple 1-0s here. The 1-0 against Newcastle at the weekend wasn't that impressive, but they still got the job done.
I still don't think Pep will allow that Premier League just to go down that way. The players have won something. They've been here many times.
Even before, they lost yesterday.
You know what is funny? What?
Even before they lost yesterday, I'd been saying I still think Liverpool win the league.
If you say so, but I still, I don't think Pep is going to, like, let it go. Like, after yesterday, I think he just has to rally the troops and get their heads. Because they just have to get their heads up. Like, fam, you win some, you lose some. You losing last week was not your fault, basically.
Yeah, it was just... Arsenal, please, man, just get top four done.
I'm just saying, if you guys don't get top four...
It's not as sad of a season if Arsenal don't get top four. It's sad because of where we are right now.
That's what we're saying.
But there's no hmm. That's what I'm saying.
No. There is.
What's the hmm?
You are in the driving seat.
Yeah. So, expectations matter.
So, you'll be okay if Arsenal don't get...
I would not be okay. I'd be devastated. But it's not the thing of, they are frauds, they are this.
Nobody's saying they are frauds. I'm just saying that the expectations at the beginning of the season was basically Europa League at this point.
No. Seventh place, Conference League was the expectation. My only expectation coming into this season was let people see Smith Rowe is better than Mason Mount.
Just agenda. That's what was
your exactly. Expectations matter. United, no matter where they finish, they're not finishing in the top four. So that is a sad season.
Why
for them.
We talk about United?
I'm going to come out and say
that, please, right now we need to stop talking about United because it's like you know when you are vomiting. You're going back to your vomit every single time. That's what the Bible says. You're literally just saying the same thing over and over again. And everyone's like, yes, it's content, but man, like, it's done. We accept where we are. We'll see what will happen next season. At least they are sacking all the money.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean people should not talk about United.
No, but like, what is the point of saying the same thing over and over again? You're literally just, you sound like a broken tape. That's my, to everybody that I say.
In the world.
Huh?
United is one of the biggest teams in the world.
Okay. But I'm saying, even though they're the biggest in the world, but at some point you just have to think like...
No, but last season when we lost to Villarreal, it was something like a broken tape. Everybody was talking about Arsenal. And everybody
will... That was towards the end of the season. Uh-huh. We've been talking about this for almost 3-4 months.
Because they haven't gotten better. The aspirations at the beginning of the season were title challenge. Least expectation, top four. And then
least expectation for me was... My own expectation was just top four. Even when Ronaldo signing,
and you're finished. First three games of the season, someone told you you finished convincingly behind Arsenal.
I won't believe that.
Exactly.
So yeah, I know that. I genuinely know that, but I'm just saying that it's okay. At least
it's okay because you're tired of hearing it because you're a United fan.
I've been tired of hearing it for the last 2 months.
Because
you
are a United fan.
I gave up on the season in March. There was no point in talking about
it. But people are still going to talk about it because it needs to be spoken about.
Okay, what does speaking about do anything? They've literally, okay, now,
we don't need to speak about anything in football because speaking about
they've hired a new manager. Fine. They said, okay, let's see. They've started sacking people. Fine. We are seeing changes happen. But now, let's wait until the transfer window. Let's at least open our minds to see what is going to happen.
And that's the more things people speak about when they're talking about United.
And I just think, no, as for me, I'm not even trying to listen to United, anything United. I just laugh and just be like, we've heard this before. We know the issue. We know that bad recruitment is the reason why we're here all these years now. Everybody knows that. But at some point, it's like, you're coming to tell me United are bad. Okay,
it's because you're United fan.
No, but what do you think is going to do to me? Like genuinely, like to say.
Well, it seems to hurt you for you to be completely.
No, it hurts me. But at this
point,
it's like
everyone. See,
there is no point in speaking.
If United were running away with the league title in March, season will have still be over. But people will be talking about United, and you won't be mad at it because it's in a positive light. But because they were running backwards in March, and people have been
The thing is that we've been talking about this for years.
Yes,
we've been talking about this bad recruitment for years. We've been talking about the board.
Specifically, not you, because last year you bigged up everybody.
I did because my expectations for this season were kind of met. But I know in hindsight now, I know that it was a false image. But genuinely, that speaking about that recruitment, we're talking about buying a midfielder for years. Talking about signing.
Yeah, but you're talking in hindsight now. You're speaking in hindsight.
I'm not speaking
now.
In hindsight. I've been speaking about midfielder for years. When at the beginning of season, when we started, what did I say? I said it. I even said to everyone that see, signing Ronaldo changes absolutely nothing. And big up Ronaldo. I've said my own. Big up Ronaldo. He has done
18 goals, and he's going to finish with 20 goals. What a season!
Big up Ronaldo.
From a 37-year-old.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to allow what people say because I'm not going to allow people to go score free. Because let's be honest, he had a poor. He was on poor form, but now he's getting better.
Yeah, but every single person goes through poor run form through the season.
Yeah, but let's not just say.
No, the issue was United fans said he is the problem.
He only him.
He is the issue.
He is the symptom of the issue that is happening here. So that's fine. I don't want to address this problem anymore because everyone would. It's still the same argument we have over and over again. Ronaldo is not a problem. He's just not meant to be. I don't think he should be here this season. Full stop.
If Ronaldo wasn't here this season, would the season have been better?
I don't know.
It wouldn't have.
I don't know.
It definitely wouldn't have.
I genuinely don't know because here's the thing. What was meant to happen eventually still happened. This for me was meant to be what happened. This season, after they sacked Oli and in January, I knew that, you know what, this is what is meant to happen. Because at this point, everything has to fall apart. Let everybody know their status and in this club. Let everybody know this. This was what was meant to happen because it was not going to. That title challenge, everything, at the end of the season, one thing that I was like, you know what, let's at least buy a midfielder to see if he can at least try something. That was my hope, but we didn't have the right manager. And our spine in that club is useless. We literally have a useless spine right now. So, like, I don't even know, man. Speaking about United, it's just demoralizing and troublesome. I support Betis. Shout out Betis for winning the FA Sunday Cup anyways, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, still think Liverpool win the league and hopefully, please Arsenal, please get Champions League football, get Gabby Jesus, get just fill in the squad with quality options. So, and everybody's saying, oh, Arsenal can't survive in the Champions League, blah, blah, blah. Stop hating, bro. Literally, stop hating. We're not carrying this exact same team to the Champions League next season. There's literally a full transfer window for us to get better. There's a summer for our youngsters to improve. There's another. Is it going to be a whole different year with whole different expectations? So just stop hating, please. Thank you. But yeah, we've come to the end of another episode of the Highline Podcast. As usual, I've been Feyi, your voice of reason.
I was supposed to say one more thing. I don't know. It's like I'm thinking about it. Oh yeah, we spoke about Madrid when this thing. I think that's it. And yeah, I think we could. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the Highline Podcast. Thank you for coming back, Funto. Make sure to check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and all podcast streaming platforms. And tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to listen to the Highline Podcast. Thank you for listening and have a lovely day. Goodbye.